I'm sorry. I'm looking ahead and I'm getting distracted. Sorry, guys. It's Thursday, October 7th, 2021. Episode 061. If you're keeping score, you are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, it's my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm on yourself.
Doing pretty good.
You know, it's funny because, like, I feel like we're so, like, G'd up now with all this technology.
Yeah, man.
For example, I just heard the intro music. I never hear the intro music.
I know, yeah. And I didn't screw it up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't think you'd screw it up. Unless you're really working on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got a kind of got a new setup tonight. I don't know whether the finished product is going to be any better or not, but it'll be easier for Joe and I I don't doing all this in as we go will save me a lot of editing time, I hope. So yeah, I've got a cool little mixer here to play with. So yeah, it's been a pretty quick week for me, Joe. How's your week been?
It's been a very, it's one of those weeks where you look, but you're like, holy crap, it's already Thursday? Amen, hallelujah.
Exactly, yeah.
Because it's the worst when you look up and you're like, oh my God, it's only Wednesday? Or worse yet, even Tuesday? It's like, oh God. But when you wake up and you're like, oh, it's Thursday already? And you just look up tomorrow, it's Friday? I mean, the only thing that would be better is if Friday was a payday as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Just saying, put that out there.
I like it. Yeah, so Well, let's jump into it. Some things haven't changed, such as
motherfucker, give me two fingers of Southern Comfort.
What'd the bartender bring you tonight, Joe?
I am annoyed at myself because I had a shot of one of the tequilas from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not remember the name of it.
Okay.
So can I come back with that the name of that tequila on the other end after the break?
Yeah. The cool thing is if it's a tequila whose name you can't even remember, that's probably a pretty good tequila. Or really bad.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. Are you sipping it, or did you make you a margarita, or what?
No, I was like, you know what, for the show, because normally I don't like shots, right. Especially shots of tequila, because shots of tequila, like, I always have to, you know, keep from vomiting after taking a shot of tequila.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's a reason you chase it with lemon and salt, you know?
All right. Yeah, I'm having a Braxton Tropic Flair, which is an IPA, and Braxton.
Oh, wow.
Braxton is a it's a local brewer here, brewed out of Covington, Kentucky, actually. So they have a little brew house down the road that I like to go to, and they sell.
Is it really hoppy?
It's yeah. The cat piss and pine tree is strong with this one. But it's also high octane, so, you know, it's a give and take.
You always make reference to how it's like, you know, some of the local craft brewers, they just, you know, they go hop crazy. And that, you know, it seems like there's nothing that they can't make hoppier. Like, sorry, hoppier makes it taste better, which may not. I think there's definitely a threshold where you cross into a non-flavorable.
Yeah, there's. I mean, there used to be before this whole craft beer scene blew up. An IPA really had nothing really to do with being overly hoppy.
Well, I would imagine it would be relatively lightly hopped if it was from India. I don't. When I think of hops and barley, I don't think of that being grown in an Indian-type climate, but that may only show for what I know.
There's a story behind the name IPA. I think it's called an India Pale Ale because they use hops to help preserve the beer, make it last longer for the trip to India, maybe, I think. Something along those lines, but... But it used to be like an IPA was, I don't even think they make it anymore, but there used to be what was called a Bass IPA, BASS IPA. You mixed
it. That's something I remember seeing when we were at the, at one of the places downtown.
Yeah. That was like a common one part of a black and tan. Or a half and half. I think it was a half and half. Anyway, I think it was considered an IPA, but it wasn't hoppy at all. But yeah, nowadays, there's people out there they call them triple IPAs, which is just ridiculous.
I have no idea. How would you describe the flavor? I guess that's probably a better question.
Of what I'm drinking,
yeah,
cat piss, with a tinge of pine tree.
Wait, so that sounds like a thumbs down, man.
You know what? Maybe I don't know. I it's fine with me. It's okay.
Well, it can't be cat piss.
I drink a lot of it, so I must. Maybe
I like to suffer, I've
just become acclimated to it. Yeah.
If you say so.
Right.
Oh, hey, well, cool. Cat piss. Meow, 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 meow.
Dude, that would be...
Meow, 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 meow.
It could be... maybe someone has already done this, but that would be a great IPA name for a brewer with a sense of humor. Cat piss and pine tree.
Yeah. When there's money on the line, their senses of humor... become somewhat measured.
I don't know, man. I've seen some pretty out there beer names in the craft brew scene. Don't ask me for any off the top of my head because I can't think of them, but anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, hell, maybe the next time you go to look at some beer, you'll bring back some of the more wacky names you come across.
I could do that. I could do that for sure.
Yeah. So what do we have in tow today?
Well, we do have an Ahmad Arbery update. I guess kind of two of them, although one of them I thought we had already covered, but it's showing up in my current news. So maybe we hadn't, I don't know. But then we have just a mix mash of other miscellaneous stories throughout the week that you sent me and that I came across that should give us some good jumping off points to talk about. But as far as Ahmad Arbery goes, so you sent me an article. I couldn't find a video or audio, so we're going to have to just read this ourselves. But this is the headline is the Ahmad Arbery murder suspect requests court ban photos of Confederate flag license plate, which is essentially just a Georgia license plate.
No, I thought they got rid of the Confederate flag.
I don't know, man. Maybe I'm not saying that they didn't, but like I know in Kentucky, I like Ohio. I think you got like two or three choices for a vanity plate. And actually, it's not even a vanity plate. It's just a custom, a plate, the background of the plate or whatever. Kentucky, there's like 100 different background themes that you can choose from, and I was just assuming that. I mean, you can't make your own license plate, so this had to have been issued from Georgia, right? Unless it's like one of those deals where they have a Georgia one and then they just put a Confederate one next to it.
He may have like a frame around his. That's a.
All right, I didn't see a picture of it myself. So.
I saw it. I thought to myself, I mean, hell, like if you drive around with it on your car, you'll be seen in your car with it.
Let me see. I do have.
Why wouldn't you want?
Does the original article? I'm looking at. I have the original article here. Does it have a picture of it?
I'm sure it does.
It's not loading.
Maybe I'll start reading the story.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Let's see here, show notes, go back to it, and transgender.
Yeah, I can't stay away from that.
One moment.
You said transgender. I said, yeah, we can't stay away from that, can we?
Now, it's funny how. Because I think I end up bringing that up as a topic for us to talk about, and you're like, yeah, Joe is trying to, get us canceled before we get started. Now, like, yeah, it's just something that we should, like, talk about, like, bring light to. I never thought we'd be talking about it in show 60.
Yeah, I know.
Dude. One.
It don't stop.
Oh, hey, so Ahmaud Arbery murder suspect requests court banned photo of Confederate flag license plate. Travis McMichael and his attorneys have requested that the court ban a photo of his old Georgia flag-themed vanity license plate, which includes a Confederate emblem. In response, the state asked the court to deny the motion, saying that the plates were on the truck at the time of the incident when Arbery was shot and killed. Makes sense to me. Including this month, a Georgia judge ruled that Arbery's mental health records could not be used as trial evidence by the defense, ruling that medical privacy, even in death, trump the rights of the men standing trial to a robust defense.
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there, Joe, because I have a video of a news report of what you're talking about now. I didn't realize that they were combined in that story. Sorry about that.
The final day is before one of the biggest trials in recent Georgia memory. Jury selection in the Ahmaud Arbery case is set to begin 2 weeks from today. Channel 2's Tony Thomas has covered this case from the beginning. Tony, you're live with the latest rulings now from the judge that threw a big kink into the defense case.
Yeah, one that the lawyers have been waiting for a while, and it came down late Friday saying the defense cannot bring up Ahmaud Arbery, the victim in this case, mental illness, or his mental health records. Now, the defense lawyers had desperately wanted to get this in as they tried to show that Arbery may have been the aggressor.
Can you tell me why that diagnosis?
I can't even imagine how anyone who's seen the freaking video was going to say that that he was the aggressor. But what I guess this is, again, just throwing everything in the kitchen sink at the wall and hoping that something sticks, well, I suppose.
That's part of what they're entitled to in terms of a robust defense, that they can claim any and everything, contradictory things. As you know, if one of those things sticks and he can get off, or they can get off on it, that then, you know, the process has worked. But
my money's still on a conviction all the way.
Well, I mean, my money's on conviction. I mean, if it wasn't for the video that we've all seen and been outraged by, it's like, after each witness, the defense puts up, the prosecution just goes up and plays the video.
Yeah, that's pretty much all they need to do. Like yeah. I would the prosecution really should just play the video and then and do the classic, you know, mic drop.
Yeah.
Prosecution rest.
Yeah, rest. I mean, what do you think? Should they be allowed to ban photos of the Confederate flag? I mean, does that even matter here?
I don't see how it matters.
Yeah, if he had done the same thing and had a Yankee Doodle or a Black Lives Matter plate, it wouldn't have mattered.
It would.
So, yeah, I think it's one of those. Yeah, that'd be crazy. Yeah. A Black Lives Matter license plate thing.
Aside from that, what this article, what these people are though, I think what I find is more, which I'm glad that. This what we're listening to. They're not necessarily talking about the plate. They're talking about they was wanting to smear him in court by talking about his mental health records and everything.
Oh yeah,
and that's what the I mean, this is. It. And gladly the judge slapped that down, and I'm pretty sure they slapped it down with the argument that I made. I think when the defense raised the issue a while back.
I think we covered that in the show or two where they're like, yeah, where they, you know, the McMichaels would not have had any knowledge as to the state of mind of. I believe we covered that.
We did, and that was my confusion. I guess we covered it when the defense raised the issue, but I guess what this is the judge ruling
the answer.
Is ruling on it. So we got a little bit more we can listen to.
All right. But hey, Coastal Georgia once again.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, we have the video and everything, but I always say, you know, remember we're trying a case in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, but this is a case.
Universe where it's possible that a jury of peers, you know, say, yeah, you know what. This makes sense, and they should walk. They should go back home. It's possible.
But the X factor here is that the entire world is watching this. This isn't happening.
I don't think they care in Georgia.
No. Well, I hate Georgia myself, so, you know, fuck them.
Oh, yeah. You've got some skin in the game here.
I wish.
Well, about your... Maybe you hate Georgia, but they like you because they just refuse to say anything bad about good old Brian.
Just tap me like a mosquito. Just sucking the green blood.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, let's wrap
this up. Well, it could be worse. Jail time.
Armor's case.
Coastal Georgia Judge Timothy Walmsley ultimately ruled Ahmaud Arbery's mental health diagnosis was, quote, highly questionable to begin with and will not be allowed at the upcoming trial.
It is reckless to disregard the mental health illness that plagued him for 8 years leading up to this moment in February 23rd, 2020.
Defense attorneys for Greg and Travis McMichael wanted to use the mental health records to show jurors Arbery had a mental illness that affected his aggressiveness and could have meant he was the aggressor in the February 2020 incident in this neighborhood just outside of Brunswick. The McMichaels, along with neighbor Roddy Bryan, are set to face trial later this month on charges they murdered Arbery. Video shows Travis McMichael shooting Arbery during a struggle. The defendants claim self-defense. Prosecutors say Arbery was simply jogging and had nothing to do with the series of neighborhood break-ins the defendants accused him of.
He could have been a Rhodes Scholar. He could have been plucking his arms like a chicken running down the street. His mental health is absolutely irrelevant to the reasonableness of their actions.
The judge agreed. And when the jury begins listening to testimony later this month, Arbery's mental health will not be mentioned.
They trying to make it like he on trial, but he ain't. He lost his life for nothing.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good on the judge. I think that was definitely the right ruling. It just didn't matter.
So. Yeah, but this is the crazy thing. let's say that he did have a mental illness, and let's say that he was robbing a place. Okay. Even then, you know, what they did wasn't reasonable. They should still go to jail for it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like the idea of citizens' arrests, especially when using, you know, lethal force like that. It was wrong. I don't care how they slice it.
Yeah. Well. Hey.
Yeah. But I guess they said in 2 weeks they said they'll do jury selection. So maybe this trial will start this month.
It's early in the month, so yeah, it's possible.
Time flies.
But I think it'll definitely be underway by Thanksgiving.
For sure. Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, this thing first started in what, 2020? What, March or February?
I think that's when it hit national attention. Yep. So here's a story out of your town, your city, which is DC changes how it clears homeless encampments after equipment picks up resident inside tent.
Yeah, I actually thought this could have ended up under being filed under skullduggery.
Well, I see that, although
yeah, just when you thought your life was about as bad as it could get, you're in a tent homeless.
Yeah, in Cincinnati, when I was downtown, there was homeless people, and you'd see them. But from stories that I've heard, Cincinnati is like a blip on the map compared to places like San Francisco. Austin, Texas has a big homeless problem.
Yeah.
And apparently D.C. too, if they're having like, I mean, these are essentially, they call them tent cities, correct?
In D.C. there aren't any tent cities.
Okay.
They're like collections of tents.
Yeah.
But like when I was in D.C., I don't recall. Sorry, when I was in Cincinnati, I don't recall ever seeing any tents.
I don't either.
Yeah, so like that's on a different order of magnitude. I think a good portion of the people you see, like the street people in Cincinnati, aren't really homeless. Hmm. Or they're probably technically homeless, but they don't like sleep on the street.
Right.
In D.C., San Francisco, L.A., like you said, Austin, where, you know, basically places where it doesn't get too cold, those people are really on the street. Like, that's where they are. And, DC changes how it clears homeless encampments after equipment picks up resident inside tent. Wayne Turnage, DC Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services, said his team had checked into the tent before the Bobcat moved in to clear it. Apparently, they didn't do a very good job. What remains unclear, he said, is if the man re-entered the tent or if he somehow missed it when the tent was checked. Whatever the case, we need to make sure that this does not happen again, Turnage told WTPO. Immediate changes have been made, Turnage said, when it comes to how machines are used in clearing out an encampment. There will be a check made to make sure that absolutely nobody's in the tent, and any person will stand there while the Bobcat comes in and make sure nobody's in the tent after the check is made, Turnage said.
This is something that I could have just. I thought about maybe just not even putting this in the show, but something we haven't really talked about that is a huge problem is homelessness. What are your thoughts on homelessness in America?
It's one of those problems that probably should not exist. Like, and the richest, I mean, now, some portion of the people that are on the street are, you know, have mental illness, and on the street is where they want to be. But there's also, I think the average person on the street, if given a choice, would rather not be. So there's no reason there should be as many tent cities popping up all over the country like that.
I don't, like I said, I don't have personal knowledge. I can't speak. I can't really speak to it. But things that I've heard from other people who maybe study this more, you know, part of the,
I've experienced it in terms of like walking by, like in terms, I mean, think about it. You got people, mostly men, you know, living in tents, you know, they still do all the things that men do, pee, poop, and all that other good fun stuff. But now they live in a tent and they don't have, like, you know, plumbing. So that poo and pee ends up someplace, and you have all these people who are pooing and peeing and not washing their hands, right?
Yeah.
And so it's become a really disgusting, gross problem in a hurry. And yeah.
But from what I'm hearing from people, though, who talk about the cause of it, is, and nothing is 100%, but I'm these people would lead you to believe that a large portion of it is drugs. If coming in off the street and staying someplace means no drugs, then they choose to stay on the streets with the drugs. And mental health is, and then the mental health issues. I don't know what percentages those all make up out of the pie, but I'm afraid.
I would put mental illness towards the top, and I think drugs would fall under mental illness in terms of addiction, which is a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
So, if 100% of the people. If there are 100% of the people out there, I'd probably say the population that's not affected by, you know, some other form of mental illness, addiction, is probably like 5%. Because an average person doesn't go on the street and not be, you know, crazy.
Sure.
My thoughts.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And this is my pessimistic outlook on things, is this is never going to change. There's always going to be homeless. It's always going to be a horrible thing, but it's never going to be fixed. And I don't know that it can be. I don't know that it can be fixed. It may just be one of those things that's unfixable, and it's just one of those things that we have to accept.
I think homelessness as it exists in the States is 80% a public policy decision.
Hmm.
I mean, it would be different if we were like Rwanda or like Haiti, someplace that's very poor, but we're not. We're the richest country in the face in the history of Earth. If we wanted these people to not be on the streets, we could provide housing for them. And, you know, the being on the streets is one thing, but the not having housing is a separate issue. Maybe that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, isn't that how the origins of, like, the projects that cities have?
You know, I don't know. I think, well, I guess it depends on what you mean by projects.
I mean, I guess just the burnout, you know, emptied out shitholes that you seem to find in the poor areas of certain cities or whatnot. When you just give people housing, they ultimately just it'll never be taken care of. Like, yeah, I don't know. This is moving into psychology and stuff, and I don't know enough to speak too intelligently about it. But
I'm aware of the line of thinking you're putting your finger on, But I think there's a difference between, there's public housing and then there's homeless. I think public housing is crappy because, once again, that's a policy decision. Mm-hmm. We've decided as a society, for whatever reason, that public housing should be crappy. That need not be the case. There are other places in the world where public housing isn't nearly as crappy. Mm. And I think, the ownership issue of it, I think that's a function of I don't want to say hope, but yeah, maybe that's something we should get into as a side project.
It's
hello.
I'm here. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's we can talk about it some more, but I just don't know I don't know of a solution.
Yeah, there may not be a solution, but I don't think. I think the projects as they exist in the States are an animal that's unique to the States and how we make decisions in the States, so to speak. Hmm. And it's funny because a couple of years ago, I did some reading in a book called The Color of Race or something like that, Law of Race, something like that. And it talked specifically about the projects and how they were created. And so it isn't so much that it's a crappy, the places are crappy because the people don't own it. It's more that it's crappy because the society wants it to be crappy. But we can get into that in a different show or in more in depth later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on, one of my big bugaboos is I'm convinced that our rulers are trying to inch us more and more into eating, fake food and not things like meat. They're going to continue to eat meat, but they're pushing. I just think there's an effort to push us away from it. And so
have you tried the Impossible Burger yet?
No, but I told you how I tried, I guess, an Impossible breakfast sandwich by accident. I shared that, right?
You did.
Yeah. But and I was belching it the entire freaking day, man. It was just so.
Yeah, I'm glad you weren't farting.
Loaded up with spice, just I guess spices and whatever to make it taste like something other than what it was.
Yum 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 yum.
So I came across this from The Economist headline: cows are no longer essential for meat and milk. It's lunchtime in El Segundo, a small coastal town in Los Angeles County, around 130 kilometers west of where the McDonald's brothers opened their first burger stand in 1948. Burgers are on the menu today. They come three to a tray, glistening in their brioche buns, piled high with lettuce, tomatoes, cheese and a creamsicle orange sauce that tastes like mayonnaise mellowed ketchup. Along with them are other greatest hits from American fast food menus. Sausages nestled in long hot dog buns with sauteed bell peppers and onions. Sausage patties on flat English muffins, that's what I'm talking about. And deep fried chunks of white meat that look and taste like chicken nuggets.
Now, I'm just going to have to pause right there.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as something delicious coming on English muffins.
Oh, yeah. I love an English muffin with egg, cheese, and sausage, man.
Yeah, I just think that, anything that culinarily, anything the English touch is damned.
Stereotypes, Joe.
Actually, you've heard the stereotype of Europe, right?
Well, I've heard many stereotypes.
Aside, dumb joke.
Okay.
So, in heaven, the English are the police, the French are the cooks, and the Germans are the bureaucrats. In hell, the English are the cooks, the Germans are the police, and the French are the bureaucrats. Yuck, 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 yuck.
Yeah, for sure. I like it. I like it. Nothing on the table contains animal products. Debris oceans are vegan. What looks like meat is made from pea protein. Everything was, as American fast food usually is, delicious after the first bite and regret-inducing by the third. Though the nuggets were slightly softer than chicken, the burger lacked beef's mineral funk, and the sausage lacked pork's telltale grease. All were a far cry from the worthy-tasting frozen pucks of compressed grains and seasonings, desiccated beanie cylinders, and mulchy tenders that once were the only meatless burger, sausage, and chicken substitutes on the market. So,
yeah, this guy uses too many damn words.
Yeah, he was definitely having fun writing this article.
Yeah, I mean the thing was let's see here. Some phrase he used made me think, okay, I should stop listening.
Oh, let me see if I can. What can we? Which there's a lot of them in here that that could make you want to tap out.
Far cry from the worthy tasting frozen pucks of compressed grains.
Yeah.
What does he mean, worthy tasting? Sorry, he or she mean worthy tasting.
Worthy tasting frozen pucks. I can only hope he's being like sarcastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's funny because all those things that he identified that it lacked, like, you know, beef's mineral funk, you know, I'm sorry, we keep on assuming this person's a he. I mean, it could just as likely be a she.
Right.
But how do we respond to that? No, we should just go look and see who it's written by.
We could I'll bring up the article and take a quick look.
Yeah, I'm doing so too. Well, this is The Economist. They don't even tell you anyway.
Oh. Well, that's no good.
Right, so, he, she, it.
There you go. He, she, it. So I'm sorry if people are tired of me harping on this, but I'm going to keep harping on it when I see these kinds of stories, because I just want to keep making everyone aware of what I think's going on.
Hey, no one beats a dead horse like Brian.
That's right, man. I beat the shit out of a dead horse.
Like, oh man, just when he thought he was tired, he finds the second and third and fourth win. But I mean, it's funny, you know, we're calling this out now, and I think slowly but surely, we're seeing it happen all around us. So,
yeah.
But part of me also says, like, you know, you don't really think that Captain Kirk ate an actual steak, do you? Or Jean-Luc Picard?
Oh,
you don't think he actually ate a steak, do you?
I lost you there. You lost me there for a second. But no, of course not. They were.
Right.
Yeah.
He was eating more like what the Jetsons. They're eating more like what the Jetsons are eating, like, you know, the pill where he puts it in his mouth and he's like, "Honey, you burned the toast," something like that.
See, if our rulers could get us to that point, oh, they'd be so happy. So easy to feed us. So easy to feed us.
I honestly think we're within a generation or two of that. It's funny because I told you how I was going to start reading a series of books on power.
Yeah, yeah.
And I picked up two books, one of which is called Propaganda. This is like one of the very first books on the subject matter. And the other one's called Like War, The Weaponization of Social Media. So the average person being convinced that, you know, eating non-meat is a good idea, we're probably closer to that than we realize.
There's a something when I was reading that article, it made me, and this is completely off the rails as well, but anyone who's interested, they was talking about at the beginning of this article where El Segundo, a small coastal town in Los Angeles County, where the McDonald brothers opened their first burger stand. There's a interesting song by Dire Straits, the rock band, called Boom Like That, that talks about how Ray Kroc found these guys and basically took their idea from them and everything. It's a cool, I mean, Dire Straits is, they just make cool music anyway. And it's an interesting topic for a song, I thought. So anyway,
I would be interested in how that song would go. How do you, I mean, if I recall, Ray Kroc was like a milkshake machine salesman, right?
You nailed it.
And the McDonald brothers were two guys in California who stumbled over a great idea that, hey, you know, a hot sandwich with French fries is, you know, a good idea.
Well, since with this new setup, let's check this out since we can. Not all of it, of course.
Yeah. I'm going to San Bernardino, ring-a-ding-ding. Milkshake mixes, that's my thing now. These guys bought a heap of my stuff, and I gotta see a good thing sure enough now. Oh, my name's not Kroc, it's Kroc with a K. Well, I'm crocodile, but not spelled that way now. It's doggy dog, ratty rat, Kroc style, boom like that. Folks line up all down the street, now I'm seeing this girl divide her and me now. And then I get it wham, as clear as day. My pulse begins to hammer and I hear a voice say, these boys have got this down, ought to be one of these in every town. These boys have got the touch, it's clean as a whistle and it don't cost much. Wham, bam, you don't wait long. Shake, fries, patty, you're gone. How about that friendly name? Heck, every little thing ought to stay the same. Oh, my name's not Kroc, that's Kroc with a K.
I want to think that maybe he's seen the movie that I think Michael Keaton made about this. That, and I think maybe I read that inspired him to write the song, but still bizarre, I thought.
When was the song made?
Well, I don't know off the top of my head.
Because that Michael Keaton movie was within the last, like, what, 5 years?
No, time. Yeah, that you think 5 years, but it's more probably like the last 20 years.
No, five.
No way.
That's something I'm willing to go to the mat on.
Let's do it, man.
Okay, on the mat. What was the name of the movie?
Fuck if I know.
See, Ray Kroc, I'll type in Ray Kroc movie.
Yeah. A beer on me. I'll buy the beer. I'll buy the entire night. I'll buy a beer. I'll buy the beers the entire night if you're right, if it's within 5 years.
Of 2020. It's the 2021. 2016. It's called The Founder.
Okay. So it's right.
Well, that's within 5 years, right?
Ooh, I don't know. We're going to have to do some math on this one, man.
Well, I mean, hell, like, thankfully we have the thing called, like, the interwebs.
Yeah, we gotta find the month that it was released. If it was released before today, then it would be.
Now you're just being a stickler.
We're talking about a whole night of buying beer, man.
Stickler. founder is a 2016 American biographical drama film directed by blah 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 blah. Released December 7th.
All right, you son bitch. Beers are on me, I guess. Yeah. And I was completely wrong about, because I know this song was. Let me find out when released this.
It's funny because this is one of those movies where I'm like, yeah, that's a movie that I want to see, and I just haven't gotten around to seeing it. It's made by the Weinstein Company too. Mm-hmm.
This says it was released by Dire Straits. Released the song in 2004, so I guess there's no relation at all between the movie and the song.
Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the guys heard the song and were like, hey, you know what? If this guy can make a song about it, there's a movie about it. Yeah. There's a movie somewhere in there.
Huh. All right.
So Brian's buying the beer.
Yep.
As per usual.
I assume when you come stay at Hotel Newman in Tampa, Florida in the next couple of years, the beer's on me. And the room's on me.
Dude, if you have this, if you're there by March, I'll be there by, you know, what's in a month after that?
April or June, man. April or May.
Yeah, April or June. Yeah, April. Done.
May. All right, then.
I believe in that, too, okay?
Dude, it's like I said, I'm in deep, so it's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. What do we have next?
Yeah. So next. Oh yeah. Yeah. You sent me this early in the week. Top State Department official resigns. Assails Biden's use of Title 42 to remove migrants.
Well, let me tell you why I thought this was interesting.
Okay.
You remember how I was saying that, you know, on China, Trump and Biden are the same guy?
You have said that, yeah.
Yeah, and I sent this your way because I thought to myself, on China and on the border, in some ways, Biden and Trump are the same guy.
Hmm.
And I thought that was interesting because so many of the there's no doubt that black people delivered Biden to the White House. There's no doubt about that. Part of that constituency are Haitians, black people in America that are voting. And yeah, they just. We can go into the story.
Yeah, a top State Department official is resigning from the Biden administration, penning a scathing memo on his way out that criticized the administration's use of a Trump-era regulation that allows the government to deport illegal immigrants. In the memo obtained by Politico, State Department senior advisor Harold Coe assailed the administration's use of the Trump-era Title 42 as inhumane. It simply is not worthy of this administration that I so strongly support, Coe said in the memo, which was dated October 2nd. Title 42 gives the administration the ability to bar people from entering the country during a health crisis, such as the COVID-19 pandemic. The Biden administration has used it to deport thousands of migrants without giving them a chance to seek asylum. But critics of the policy, such as Coe, contend that it is unlawful. I believe this administration's current implementation of the Title 42 authority continues to violate our legal obligation not to expel or return individuals who fear persecution, death, or torture, especially migrants fleeing from Haiti, Coe argued, adding that lawful, more humane alternatives plainly exist, and there are approaching opportunities in the near future to substitute those alternatives in place of the current badly flawed policy. I don't know. One thing I'm curious about is to see, it says here that he's deporting thousands, but I want to see thousands out of how many, you know, is he like deporting half of them, or is he just deporting like 5% of them? And the other thing, and I, again, this is one of those bugaboos, man, that I have with the selective outrage when it comes to COVID. I know that these people aren't coming across the borders vaccinated, and I know they're not coming across the borders and getting tested, and I know that they don't have.
Before we become refugees, maybe we should get vaccinated.
Yeah, I that for a country who is so on eggshells about COVID right now and making sure that everybody's vaccinated, it's like they suspend their outrage when it comes to this. And so, I don't know, man. It's again, we've talked about border and immigration in the past, the problems, and that it's, you know, it's not our responsibility to take care of everyone. I don't know though. And again, I don't see it here, but something that when I watch and hear reports like this, they talk about kids, and we pointed out that we need like a more clear definition of kids when they're talking about kids, you know?
So, for the most part, when they say kids, they mean under 18, when right. They're like, 2/3, 3/4 are like 16 and 17. Something like that.
Yeah.
There may be a 16 and 17 year old that has their 8-year-old brother coming along.
Right.
But for the most part, they're 17, 18, almost the age of majority.
Right.
But this is something I'm going to file under separating people trying to separate immigration from something else that I think is really important, and that is labor markets. I follow this under that story that, you know, they're on immigration, they're trying to get you to focus on everything under the sun, but what having more low-wage workers does to the average working age wage of an individual here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they want to tell you, oh, these people are fleeing from persecution and have a legal right to be here. That may be true, and we need to honor those legal obligations, but we should still be honest about, okay, we now have another person competing for a job with a low-skilled worker here in the States.
Yep.
And the thing that irritates me about so many of these immigration stories is how they're trying every way under the sun to not acknowledge how more low-skilled workers coming into the States negatively affects people that are already here.
I've never heard that brought up when it's been talked
about. Oh yeah, and to me, it seems to be a concerted effort to be like to look at every angle under the sun except for that one. That the pig sample for every person you have from Guatemala who is willing to work for next to nothing. That makes it harder for an American citizen who wants to feed his family. And yeah, that's how I file this. If transgenders and fake meat is one of your bugaboos, this is one of my bugaboos.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Joe, what do you say we take a quick break. We're coming up on an hour here.
Holy
I need to take a comfort break myself, refresh my drink, and then we can. I'm looking here real quick. Yeah, and then we just got some lighthearted stuff to knock out when we get back.
All right, cool.
So, yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm looking ahead and I'm getting distracted. Sorry, guys. Be back in a sec.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Restroom Toilet Paper Refiller.
Mr. Restroom Toilet Paper Refiller.
Without your undying commitment, we might find ourselves trapped in a stall, armed only with our newspaper.
Oh, I need you now.
Like a brave soldier, you storm hostile territory, delivering much-needed supplies to your men. Should you leave one roll, or two, or perhaps that giant 10-pound super roll?
Keep rolling!
While others rest, you can't, because somewhere there's a guy with his pants around his ankles doing the bunny hop in search of a fresh roll. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, master of the men's room, because if you don't do your business, we can't do ours.
Is there anybody out there?
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name?
Q-Tip.
Where were you going? Who were you going with?
It's me, Ali.
Left my wallet in El Segundo. My wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I got to get it. I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I got to get it. My mother went away for a month long trip. Hunting some friends on an ocean liner ship. She made a big mistake by leaving me home. Had to roam, so I picked up the phone. Got Ali up to see what was going down. Told him I'd pick him up so we could drive around. Took the Dodge Dart, a 74. My mother left the yard, but I needed one more. Shahid had me covered with 100 greenbacks. So we left Brooklyn and we made big tracks. Drove down the belt, got on the conduit. Came to a toll, we paid and went through it. Had no destination, we was on a quest. Ali laid in the back so he can get rest. Drove down the road for 2 days and a half. The sun had just risen on a dusty path. Just then a figure had caught my eye. A mirror for Sombrero who was 4 feet high. I pulled over to ask where he was at. His index finger, he tipped off his hat. El Segundo, he said, my name is Pedro. If you need directions, I'll tell you pronto. Need a civilization, some sort of reservation. He said a mile south, there's a fast food station. Thanks to you as I started the motor. Ali said,
damn, Tiff, what did you drive so far for? Well, describe to me what the wallet looks like.
And we're back. So we've touched on this in the past. I know I did. There's no way that I could have let this go through without comment. But
there's no way. Are you sure?
Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. Prior to the Olympics. The Queenstown athlete. Okay, Otago. Otago University honors Hubbard. And if people want to go to johai.com /061 under the images section, you'll see a picture of Laurel Hubbard, the female that they're talking about in this story.
Laurel Hubbard, let me do that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, you do that, I'll read. The Queenstown athlete became the first openly transgender woman to compete at the Olympics when she contested the women's 87-plus kilogram at the Tokyo Games this year. The 43-year-old was eliminated from the event when she failed to make a successful lift in the snatch.
Oh, wow.
Her achievement was recognized with the Sportswoman of the Year Award at University of Otago and OUSA Blues and Golds Award on Tuesday. In a short statement.
I'm sorry, you were saying?
In a short statement to the Otago Daily Times, Hubbard said she was grateful for all of the support and kindness received from the teaching staff and students at Otago University. It is not possible for athletes to complete to. It is not possible for athletes to compete at the Olympic level without the encouragement and aroha of friends, family, and supporters. This award belongs to everyone who has been part of my Olympic journey.
You know, and listening to that story, I realize that women are fundamentally better people than men.
Ooh, I like that take on things, man.
Because I think if it were the other way around and a university was honoring a transgender man as a man, I think there'd be a riot. I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there. I think that is the case.
Interesting. I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah, I believe that to be the God's honest truth, that there, you know, a bunch of guys would not be cool with, you know, my university's honoring a woman. And the other thing that dawned on me is that you see these trans women, but you don't see any trans men trying to compete in men's things, if that makes sense.
Right.
And yeah. So that was something. It's one of those things where, you know, you read what you see, but you also got to read what you're not seeing. Well,
those are things that you just don't talk about, Joe.
Oh no, but like, you know, I've not seen. Oh, you know, man competes in 100-yard dash,
and you're not going.
You're not seeing that anywhere, are you?
You're not going to.
Or you're not even seeing, like, you know, trans man competes in golf. Right?
Interestingly, no, you have not.
I'm surprised you haven't seen trans man compete in shooting.
What kind of comment do you what kind of commentary is that, you think?
It's noteworthy and surprising.
It stands to reason. It stands to reason that there are women who identify as men, right?
Mm-hmm. Who can shoot.
But where are the stories?
I'm convinced that the media is hiding them. Either the media is hiding them or they don't exist.
Oh.
The plot thickens. Is there a third option?
No, I think you're probably, I think one of your two options there is probably accurate.
Oh, crap. Okay. Wait.
And I think they do exist. I don't know why they're not being, I don't know why they don't get any press.
Yeah. It'd be, to me, it's like, especially for like shooting, there should be a trans man competing in that. I'm sure there was somebody who was in the army who is like, oh, you know what? I showed up duty, but now I'm John, and I can shoot.
Well, there
and
is.
There
is, but he went to MMA and beat the shit out of women last week. Don't you remember?
No.
The opposite. My bad.
Yeah. Some MMA woman who was fighting as a woman, then decided, you know, I'm just going to go and whoop head on the man side.
Well, it's interesting because every 4 or 5 years, you do see that story of this girl who made the college football team as a kicker. That always gets press. Yeah, it comes around every so often. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see a trans man play in the NFL.
I'm sure it's one of those things where, like, after you after we ask the question, we'll start finding. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you own a certain type of car, then you start noticing that car on the road.
Right.
So now that we put it out there, we'll start seeing stories about it. Right. I'm sure we are.
I hope so. I'd like to learn more about that. Okay. I'm honest to God, serious, man.
The die is cast.
Yeah, and speaking of casting, I don't know if this is an act. If that was a good segue or not, but $1 trillion platinum coin could be minted at the last minute. $1 trillion platinum coin could be minted within hours of the Treasury Secretary's decision to do so, said Philip Deal, former director of the United States Mint. He tells Axios. Why it matters. Congressional solutions to the debt ceiling problem could take weeks to implement, especially if the reconciliation process is used and time is running out. In case of emergency, $1 trillion coin could be deployed to bridge any gap between the money running out and the debt ceiling being raised.
It couldn't possibly be that simple a solution.
That's why I put it in here, man, because it just seems this just seems so fake.
Well, I mean, the first time I heard about like an issue regarding the debt ceiling was Obama. Before that, it seemed as if that didn't exist. And so, and they've had enough government shutdowns and, you know, near misses where if the solution were just printing one coin saying, yeah, let's make $1 trillion coin, that couldn't be it.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if anything, it shows you that, you know, when they say we don't have the money, yes, you do. You just made $1 trillion coin.
And the last sentence I have here in this article from Deal says, voila, we'd have bought ourselves the equivalent of $1 trillion increase in the debt limit without any impact on inflation. I'll admit I'm not educated enough in economics to parse all that out. I don't know, man.
Let's see how it works. The U.S. Mint, which Dell ran from 1994 to 2000, already produces a 1 ounce platinum eagle and has no shortage of platinum blanks already in stock. Okay. Producing $1 trillion eagle would require only a denomination to be changed. This could be quickly executed on the existing plaster mold of the platinum eagle, says Dell. Then an automatic process would transfer the new design to the plastic resin mode.
So okay, I get how it physically can happen, but okay, but
so, yeah, that's the part. That's not the part that's hard for us.
Yeah, that's the easy part.
Yeah, you said okay, it was a billion. Now you put a. You took off the B, you put a TR, and now it's a trillion.
Yes.
But I think it lets you know how not seriously we should be taking a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It almost makes you mad.
If it wasn't so ridiculous sounding, I probably would be mad. I've given up, though.
Given up?
I mean, didn't it used to be like a law that Congress had to have a balanced budget each year? I mean, I think that's gone by the wayside. I think it used to be at one point.
There was a balanced budget. Something like an amendment once, and I think Bill Clinton ended up using the what was then called the line item veto. And he was sued and shortly thereafter lost that power.
Hmm.
So a lot of states have to run a balanced budget, but the feds never.
Crazy. So Fidel Castro's son, the Prime Minister of Canada put out a tweet.
Where?
Fidel Castro's son. He's the Prime Minister of Canada.
Canada?
Yeah.
Maybe we should be trying a different sea country.
I'm just having fun. You've heard that theory though, right?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Ted.
Fidel Castro knocked up the Justin Trudeau's mom, and he's Justin Trudeau's dad. And there's a lot.
If you do
like some searches for that meme, there's a lot. If you look at pictures of Fidel Castro when he was a young man, and you compare him to some pictures of Justin Trudeau before he put on a suit and tie and became prime minister, they're almost twins, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm kind of called BS.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a more fun world when I believe that it's true.
Maybe we should have the Pepsi challenge. We can show.
I've thought about that. We'll do that. We'll next week. I'll put the pictures together. Next week we can do him and Castro, and then also, Chelsea Clinton and Hubble.
Mark Hubble, the guy that the suicide guy. Everyone's convinced Bill had whacked or something like that.
No, it's not Mark. No, you're thinking of
Vince Foster.
Vince Foster. I'm Hubble. What the fuck is his first name? I knew it when I was in there taking a leak earlier when I was thinking about this.
I mean, we're gonna get canceled if we do those stories, man. They're gonna officially identify us as purveyors of propaganda.
I know we're not allowed to have fun anymore, man.
Yeah, that stuff's been banned.
Yeah. Web Hubble, Jesus, can't believe I couldn't pull that out of my ass. Web Hubble.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'll put some pictures together and we can laugh at that next week.
So Trudeau and Wayne Hubble and Chelsea Clinton.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
It's funny because there's also a supposedly some black kid that looks like Bill Clinton.
Oh, I've heard that. I'll look that up too, man. I've heard that as well.
Yeah, I think I saw it. I sent it to mom, and she was like, "Yeah, I don't see it." Like, yeah.
Well, we want to act like. I mean, I think it's pretty much well known that Bill Clinton has screwed his way through America, and it's fine. It's what guys do. But to think that, he somehow never knocked anyone up is insane. To think that Hillary was just the scorned wife the entire time, that she didn't dally around some, is also insane to think about. So,
you know, I subscribe to the Clinton was a good guy school of history. So,
okay.
Of course, Bill Clinton, if probably only had one dalliance,
mm-hmm.
Ever.
All right.
And was otherwise a devoted father and husband. And of course, Hillary Clinton was a shimmering tower of virtue. Womanly virtue. So, a dalliance with Hillary having a dalliance. That's not the Hillary I know.
Fair enough, Joe. Fair enough. Regardless, Justin Trudeau put out this tweet. And I just have to, put this in here because I got to bow down to his alphabet skills. People across the country are lighting candles to honor Indigenous women, girls, and 2SLGBTQQIA+ people who are missing or have been murdered. Yeah,
wait. You can't just slip that in there without. Okay, so that we're honoring Indigenous women. Okay.
And girls.
All girls.
And
so girls, regardless of their Indigenous status or not.
No, I think it's Indigenous women and girls, and Indigenous two SLGBTQQIA plus people. Wait, but only the indigenous ones. But only the indigenous ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the 2S? What's the 2S?
I don't know. I'll have to
look that. May be one of those, you know, one of those secret ruler codes that they, you know.
Maybe. I'll have to look that up. I'm not sure. And it's interesting, the plus at the end, like, does that mean that there's more?
Yeah, there's more. Hmm. Oh, yeah, there's more. There is more.
So, yeah, 2SLGBTQQIA+. Just rolls off the tongue, man.
I'm sorry, is that a French spelling? I never knew there was a U in government.
Oh.
Or maybe I'm really dyslexic.
No, I mean it's probably French.
Oh, okay, okay.
If they spell official wrong too. and do.
No silly French spelling all the words wrong.
Yeah. All right, and I wasn't going to put this in, but then I did. Bretman Rock is Playboy's first openly gay male cover star. So,
wait. Oh, cover star.
Yeah.
So wait. There's a Playboy, and this guy is on the cover of it.
It looks that way.
Who's buying Playboy nowadays?
Well, that's a good question.
Because I would venture to guess that the average person going to pick up a Playboy would not want to see a gay man. I just don't think that's in the demographic. That's not what they're looking for.
Interestingly enough, they show his nipples.
Vomitous.
we got to move on before Joe's head explodes here. my head already exploded. That's why I didn't include me.
No, but somebody got to ask those people at Playboy who your clientele is.
I really thought they screwed the pooch when they tried to go non-nude, and that didn't last very long. Yeah, they went for a period where they weren't going to do nude. They was only, I think, just like maybe scantily clad, but
yeah. Yeah.
They dropped that.
It's like they think we're back in like the pre-internet where they're the only show in town.
Exactly. I mean,
newsflash, because it is in print, that doesn't make you special.
Nope. I had to put this story in the, I'm going to label this under skullduggery. Although I don't know if it is, but Jesus, I think I came across this story after we stopped recording last week, and I was like, oh, we're talking about this. Horror frog breaks own bones to produce claws. The picture's in the show notes. Amphibian horror isn't a movie genre, but on this evidence, perhaps it should be. Harvard biologists have described a bizarre hairy frog with cat-like extendable claws. Trichobacrachus robustus actively breaks its own bones to produce claws that puncture their way out of the frog's toe pads. Probably when it is.
That sounds like it hurts.
Yeah.
And good job with that name, because I would have thought that just given up.
Yeah, thank you. I faked it. I was close. I was like, I was probably like 90% close on it.
Yeah, hey, you got the robustness part.
I like
track.
That,
yeah. Trichobacrachus robustus.
Yeah, I'm not going to read all of this, but people if anyone is slightly interested, it's interesting to read. And I don't know. Frogs are just like cool to me. There's all kinds of colorful, beautiful frogs out there that I like to look at. This is not really one of them, but just the idea of what it does.
I think the people over in the marketing department are working overtime. Horror frog.
Yeah. Amphibian horror as a movie genre. Yeah. Although to an extent, that's kind of like what Wolverine does. Whenever he pops his claws, they have to like pop out through his knuckles. So crazy.
Yeah, but Wolverine's in that category of clearly fiction.
Yeah, and this is some real ish for you.
Yeah. So, we got to call that one out.
Yeah.
Wait, why does a frog need claws anyway?
Well, it said to... and it all comes together now. Well, it says when it thinks it's in trouble. And it makes sense. What, remember last week we talked about how the frogs that
were spiny toad or something like that?
That were no, the ones that were killing off
those ugly rats, the quolls.
Yeah, and I think that's why I think that's where I came across this article. They think it's a gruesome behavior is a defense mechanism, they say.
So if these things are about to be eaten, they just like, okay, let the claws come out and,
I guess so, man.
I mean, hey, you know what? That would give, if you were a fox and you came across a toad, a hairy toad, and you ate it, and next thing you know, your face is full of blisters and stuff like that, that would give you a moment of pause the next time he came across a hairy toad.
Jesus.
Sorry, a hairy frog.
It says, researchers say there are salamanders that force their ribs through their skin to produce protective barbs on demand, but nothing quite like this mechanism has been seen before. The feature is also found in 9 of the 11 frogs belonging to the Astylosternus genus, most of which live in Cameroon. Crazy, man.
So, something bad happened in Cameroon that gives you all these wacky frogs.
Yeah, for sure. And that brings us to the end of tonight's show.
What?
Yes. This is, I'll be honest. I came into this show worrying that we wasn't going to have enough to make a show, but once again, I was wrong.
Hey, you always have that worry.
I know, I do. I just need to stop. What do you got going on this weekend, Joe?
This weekend, I'm kind of like, sad about the passing of summer and the onset of fall, but the weather isn't cold yet and the leaves are still green, so I'm going to try and get out and enjoy it a little bit.
Ditto. Same here.
That and be awesome.
Yeah. All right, folks, join us here next week, where Joe and I, we will continue our never-ending quest to solve the world's problems 1, 2, 3 drinks at a time.
4, 5, 6, 7.
Take care.
Bye-bye.